you for listening to this message from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries in Gunnison, Colorado. We hope you will visit us at rmcmchurch.org, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to our messages on YouTube.
So we're going to talk today. This is something that the Lord just really just gave me, or began to give me a week and a half ago. Usually when I heard some teaching along these lines, it went a different direction, but you know, it was one of those things where something stood out, which often happens, and the Lord took me this direction with it. Usually when I, especially if I'm hearing a teaching, I don't just come back and try and regurgitate what somebody else said. That's regurgitation. That's not a good meal. But this is something the Lord's just been stirring up me all week. I really thought we were going a different direction. I don't have any slides for you today. So you might want to get out something to write with and just make a few notes. But I want to talk to you basically about the way we as believers either react or respond to the circumstances of life, to the world's situation, to what is going on around us every day. We tend, I think, until the Lord teaches us better, we tend to be reactive people, and it's just not a good place to be. We all find ourselves in the middle of circumstances, in the middle of world events, and just kind of the whole direction that things are going on earth. We find ourselves in the middle of that. And all of us find ourselves in circumstances that are challenging or are uncomfortable at times. We find ourselves in the middle of those kinds of things. And how we respond to that is so important, and what you see as your role in life, in this earth, in the world, in this generation, how you view yourself is so essential. And you can turn in your Bibles over to Genesis chapter 26. We're not going to get there for a few minutes. What I'm trying to talk about here is we find ourselves in situations that we know are not God's best. We find ourselves in the middle of world events, of cultural norms, of philosophies of life and thought processes going on, and they're affecting us, you know. Things, and this is something to remember about circumstances on earth. If you have that philosophy, that theology, that says everything that happens on earth was either caused by God. A lot of people step back from that, and instead they'll say, well, it was allowed by God. If we believe that it was caused by God, and there are people who do, they believe everything that happens in your life was caused by God, okay? Then we have no reason to resist anything, good, bad, or indifferent that comes into our life, because if God sent it, if God did it, okay, then why would we want to get away from that? And if we people soften that and say, God allowed it, but what that means is he allowed it with a purpose, okay, meaning that he had a purpose for this thing. He didn't do it, but he allowed it. He let it happen in your life with a purpose, and if he didn't like the purpose, he would have stopped it. Both of those theologies say that God manages, micromanages every single thing that happens on earth, every event, every circumstance that comes into your life. I don't believe that. We'll look at some scriptures later about that, okay? But it's important to remember, I mean, the circumstances you're in, the circumstances of your life are formed by many things. There are a lot of things that happen on earth because of God's will. That's absolutely true. And especially as he works through you and me, through his church and the earth, it's how he's chosen to do it. He could have micromanaged everything. He absolutely could. He's sovereign. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He could have done it that way, but he chose not to. It's his decision. It's not our decision. But, you know, so God's will does cause a lot of things to happen on earth. Satan's will causes things to happen on earth. And there again, primarily working through people, getting, because we're the ones that God gave authority in the earth. And so if he can get hold of people and get them agreeing with him and moving with him, that'll bring negative circumstances into your life. And there you are living in it, okay? Man's will, for sure, just our human will creates circumstances around us. We end up in a lot of situations dealing with difficult or uncomfortable things in life because of a choice somebody else made or a lot of somebody else's made. And there we are, you know, we don't get to just leave, right? We're there. And then, you know, we talk about natural law. Gravity causes some things to happen. If you drive off a cliff, your car's going to fall, you're going to get hurt. So you start combining those things. You start combining a person's choice with gravity or momentum, and you end up with bad things happening in car wrecks and things like that. It wasn't God that did it. So I want us to come at this realizing that the things, nevertheless, here we are. And some people take on the attitude that, well, the solution is, my whole prayer life is around Jesus, I need you to come tomorrow and get us out of here. It's an escapism philosophy, okay? If he does come tomorrow, awesome. If he comes today, awesome. I'm all for it. But for now, here we are. Or my prayer life just revolves around, God, you need to fix this problem. I've got to have this problem erased. And I'm going to say this morning that that doesn't always happen. You know this, okay? Doesn't always happen. And what is our role in the midst of it? Okay, what is our role in the midst of various kinds of circumstances? People who live reactionary lives, okay, they are moved by the events of life, the circumstances of life. Every time there's an event, they react. And most of the time, if it's an uncomfortable event, which is kind of what we're talking about, we react negatively. We get angry or we get frightened. We withdraw. We do some of those things. If you are moved by your circumstances, okay, then we end up just being herded through life by what's going on. We're not applying what is on the inside of us to what is happening on the outside. And that is what the Lord has always called the church and set the church to be. He's building our inward life, so we are supposed to connect with him. We are supposed to grow toward maturity. We are supposed to know him more and more, like we just sang. That is supposed to impact us and change who we are and lift us up out of a lot of things that we had before we came to know him. And then the church is here to impact this outward world with that inward life, not to have our inward life dictated by the outward world. Does that make sense to you so far? I'm just trying to lay some foundation here. Jesus was never reactionary. He only did what he saw the Father doing, and he only said what he heard the Father saying. So he was continually releasing out into the world what the Father had put on the inside of him. Now, we're not Jesus. We're not as good at that as he was, okay? I think we can all admit that. However, we are his disciples. We are being trained up to be like him. We are Christians, and that word means little Christs, okay? We are supposed to be becoming more and more like him. I mean, can you all agree with that, okay? So that's how he dealt with things. Did you find Genesis 26? Okay, it's in that first book in your Bibles, Genesis, and it's chapter 26. I want to just read in verse 1. We're going to look at some things from Isaac's life. and how he responded to some things that were going on the outside. Let me just be sure that I just don't feel like I've quite established this. I'm not talking about you being in an abusive situation and that, well, you have to stay there and release what God has given you. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about a sudden life-threatening event. Well, my house is on fire. I better just sit in here and pray about it. We're not talking about that, okay? Especially, I'm not talking about abusive situations. I'm not saying that we always have to stay. But I am saying, I believe, we're way too quick to move and to leave when life becomes uncomfortable. Again, you can draw that line in your head. But I'm talking about, well, it's difficult to live in Gunnison County. It is difficult to live in Gunnison County. It's difficult to live almost everywhere in this country right now. But it is difficult. That does not mean that you should necessarily jump up and move to Texas. It doesn't mean that you should necessarily, and I mean, we watch people do it all the time for one reason or another. Sometimes that's God's desire for you, and God bless you. Go. But for many people, it just becomes, well, this is hard. There isn't the spiritual atmosphere here that I like. Well, I'm happy. Stay here. Consider staying here and helping us change it instead of just moving away from something that makes you uncomfortable. Okay? I'm talking about world events. I'm talking about the political situation. People on both sides of the aisle are unhappy with the political situation. That division, Jesus said, a house divided against itself. He didn't say it might not stand. He said it cannot stand. We got to deal with the division before we're going to have any peace. Anyway, you found Genesis 26. Let's read this. Okay, it begins in verse 1. It says, there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. So that's back in, I think, Genesis chapter 12. There was a famine during Abraham's time. And what people did was they went to Egypt when there was a famine, because there was a drought that caused the famine. Okay? It wasn't inflation. It was drought. Caused the famine. And so they would go to Egypt. Because, why? Because the Nile River. Because it was a huge watered plain and there was food there. So that was just, that's what people did. It was the sensible thing to do. It was the general consensus. When this happens, you go to Egypt. And Abraham did. And it was the right thing for him to do at that time, which is, that's interesting. There was a famine in his day. Go to Egypt. He did. God's blessing was on it. But now there's a famine in Isaac's day. And it says he went to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines in, I don't know if that's Gerar. I'm going to say Gerar today. And look what it says. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Okay? So the Lord appeared to him. The Lord spoke to him. Do not do what would be just the sensible thing to do, what everybody else is doing. Don't get on the train and go to Egypt with all these other people. That was God's word to Isaac. He said, live in the land of which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For, he starts to tell him why, for to you and your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father, and I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of the heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So God tells Isaac to defy the conventional wisdom of the day, not to just do what circumstances are telling him to do. The famine didn't go away. The famine didn't go away. God said, stay here. In the middle of famine. And he tells him, what does he do? God comes and he says, here's my word to you. Stay here and I will bless you. And then he tells him why. And he recounts the blessing to his father, Abraham. He reminds him that his life and his descendants' lives are about more than just Isaac's comfort, even more than just Isaac's immediate family's welfare. His life is bigger than that, and your life is bigger than that. We are a part of the kingdom of God. We are individuals and collectively God's church in the earth today. And what the decisions that Isaac made were going to affect the plan of God for the future. That's what he's saying, right? He reminds him of his commitment and his blessing to that family, but he also ties in, here's why. It's because your descendants, the whole earth's going to be blessed through your descendants. Well, the same thing is true of us. Whether you realize it or not, God has put things on the inside of you that are absolutely necessary for the people that you are coming in contact with today. Okay, and so we need to be sensitive. He's telling Isaac, do not do what you would normally do in this situation. Do this. Dwell in this land. And that word dwell means more than just live. It's this picture of thriving in a place. Dwell in this land. And the famine didn't go away. He didn't say tomorrow the famine will be gone. He said stay here. And so Isaac, and I just want you to get that, Isaac's choices in this place, what to do, obey the voice of God or just go with the natural pressure, okay? Make a difference. They're going to make a difference for his children and their children and their children and all of those generations coming down to the Lord Jesus Christ. His life was about something much bigger than his own comfort, and so is yours and so is mine, okay? Does that make sense to you, okay? So then in verse 12, it says, Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year he reaped 100-fold. Why? Because the Lord blessed him. The man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds and servants. Now here it goes, that the Philistines envied him. So all the wells that his father's servant had dug in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistines stopped up and filled them with earth. What's that? Jesus told us that anybody who gives up or gives into, you know, gives up lands and houses and husbands and wives and children, relationships, all these different things into the kingdom of God for his sake will receive 100-fold return in this life and eternal life in the next life with persecutions. People are not always going to be happy when you prosper in a hard situation that they're struggling with. We're going to be a blessing. We're going to give. We're going to help other people. We're going to do all of that. But if we're walking, if we're staying in a place where it's difficult and God's bringing blessing on our life, not everybody's going to be happy with that. Okay? And we can't be moved by their opinions, and we can't either direction. We can't get hard and stubborn and stand up and say, well, too bad, and we can't be moved by their directions and start to go into a different, you know, theology that says, well, you know, God doesn't want me to have anything. You know, we can't go any of those directions. But just know, as God blesses your life, a lot of people are going to be thrilled about it, but some aren't, okay? It's the way it is. That's just one of those things that happens, okay? So, because of Isaac's obedience in this situation to the voice of God, rather than moving with the pressure of his surroundings, because he stayed with the Lord, because he did what God told him to do, I love this. The other thing here is that, can you imagine, there you are, it's a famine, it's a drought, you have some seed, you know that he went through, if I plant this seed and it doesn't grow, what if I didn't hear God right? What if God doesn't come through? What if this? What if that? If I plant this seed and it doesn't grow and my family starves because I put our seed in the ground like God told me to, instead of eating it, instead of hoarding it, instead of saving it because we might need it because there's a famine going on. If I put the seed in the ground, that doesn't work. Then what? You know that he went through that, but he took part of what he had and he planted it in faith, and God brought increase to him and continued to bring increase to him in his flocks, in his herds, in all the stuff that he had. So what he had multiplied and became a blessing to other people. Why? Because he didn't go with the conventional wisdom, because he wasn't moved by his circumstances. Do you see that? Okay. And again, I'll say it again. It wasn't because the famine disappeared. It did eventually, but for a time he had to live in the famine. He was God's person. He was, you know, it wasn't that God was mad at him, right? It wasn't, we don't see any of that. But he had to stay and plant seed and live like a believer in the middle of a very difficult, and I'll bet you anything, we will get together and we will ask Isaac when we get there. But I will bet you anything that he had a number of nights between seed time and harvest time that he was nervous, that he was laying awake. Did I do the right thing? I'll bet you anything. I've been there. I've sure been there. Okay. So the question is, especially talking about difficult circumstances, challenging things, do we react to them? Do we get moved? Do we let our emotions be moved every time something goes a direction that we don't like? Okay. Or every time something, you know, I'm thinking of things like, we are living in a time of moral decline. There's no question about it. Just in the 15 or 20 years I've been alive, there has been tremendous change in our society, in what we view, what we see, in the moral fiber of our society. It's been huge change, okay? And it's not been for the best. It's not been for the good. So we live in the middle of that. We live right now in very difficult economic times for many people, okay? Relationships are having a hard time these days. They're having a tough time. There are a lot of things going on around us. Those things impact us. Those things are uncomfortable. But we can't live a reactive life that constantly tries to move away from pain. And that's natural for us. We got to understand. I mean, that's if I went over and pinched Karen, just started pinching her right now, first she'd hit me, but eventually she would move away from that pain. Something hurts, you tend to move away from it. It's true in the spiritual world and our emotional world and everything too. We just have to recognize, and again, we don't want our whole prayer life to be reactive in that, God, take it away. God, take it away. We do want to come against things that are not lining up with the kingdom of God. And this is sort of a fine line, but it's not just about, God, make me more comfortable. It's, God, we need change so that everybody can be blessed. With what Isaac did, blessed a bunch of people that weren't necessarily walking with God. If you look at it again, look at the big picture. Look at down through the ages. Look what has come about because of Isaac's choices. Not just this one, but his choices in life to follow God. Look at what has come about. We have a Savior on this end of all of that, because of some of the decisions that these people made. They chose to walk in faith and to stay. So we want to respond from our inner world, our inner life, what God's building on the inside of us. We recognize, we're not pretending that there aren't negative circumstances. We're saying, Father, what's my role? We're staying with him. We're saying, Lord, what do you want me to pray? What do you want me to do? What seed do you want me to sow? Do I have a role in this situation or do I not? Maybe that's somebody else's role to get into that. Is this making sense to you? Okay. But we are not always just going to instantly be transferred to comfort. it's just not always going to happen. Okay? So there are a number of things, you know, that go on in this. And sometimes, there again, I don't want to go through all of these. I was thinking about a lot of things here. But we can't, it's really unwise to start trying to interpret what God is doing through looking at our circumstances, because lots of things cause circumstances. We want to instead interpret our circumstances through what God is saying. We want to come from that heavenly kingdom perspective and look at things going on earth from his perspective and address them with the Spirit of God and the Word of God and from a biblical lens, okay? Not look at what's going on and say, oh, God must be doing such and such. It's just not a good way. And I'm not going to get into it today, but there are so many places in the scripture that demonstrate that. Genesis 26 is one of them. In Acts chapter 14, Paul's team is there, and it says that great persecution came against them, so they stayed there a long time. Great persecution, great disturbance, people stirred up against them, people hated that team, they were opposed to that team, they were stirring up society against them, so they stayed there a long time. Later, it says, great persecution came against them, so they fled. So what's the difference? I believe it's whatever God said to them at the time. We see other places in Paul's life where they're listening to the Spirit of God. Are we supposed to go here? Are we supposed to go there? What are we supposed to do? Okay, there are loads of places in the scripture that we can look and see that it's just not a good way for us to try and determine what God is telling us by looking at what's going on around us. Okay, so again, and let's look at some verses. God's plan for the church has always been to be continually filling ourselves with him, and then from that place, allowing his life to transform us, and then releasing that life through prayer, through the things that we do, the things that we say, what we give, all of those ways, to be releasing that into our society. It is not to be that that outward world is building or transforming our inward life. And that can happen. And an example I thought of that, back when the wall came down, the Berlin Wall, and we had missionaries going into a lot of those former Soviet Union countries, and there were people there, especially the older people, who had lived under communism all of their life, and missionaries were going in there, they were bringing the gospel, they were teaching them how to be productive for themselves, not to be dependent on the government, because it wasn't there, but instead to be productive for themselves, to be entrepreneurs, to have ideas and put them into business. People were free now, politically. They didn't know how to live in freedom. They'd been so brought up, and all the missionaries came back, and they were teaching these things, and the older people flat couldn't get it. They just didn't know what to do with freedom. And because why? Because that outward structure had gotten on the inside of them. Then there were younger people that were coming up that were beginning to get it and eventually did get it and began to change the country. But there were many people that had been put on the inside of them. They just simply did not know. They're free, but they didn't know what to do with it. Okay, because that outward world had gotten on the inside. We knew a lady at Believer Center that had come from a very structured, legalistic religious system where there were rules for what you ate, there were rules for when you ate it, for what you did on various days, for the day that you went to church, all that kind of stuff, very structured. She had been in that for many years, and when she heard the message of grace that we have relationship through Jesus and through what he did, not by our own works. Not that our works aren't important, but they come out of the relationship. They're fruit of the relationship, but you're okay with God because you've put your faith in Jesus. It absolutely freaked her out. I mean, literally, she had a nervous breakdown. This had been her foundation for all these years, even though it wasn't true according to the scripture, but that had been her foundation. I know I'm okay with God because I ate the right food today. I know I'm okay with God because I went to church on Saturday. I know, you know, I did all these things. So and I dress a certain way, so I'm okay with God. Well, now all of a sudden it's like, no, you're okay with God because of what somebody else did for you, and you received that. Totally freaked her out because that system had gotten on the inside of her. It had become her security. So I'm just trying to say that we can allow what we're experiencing from the outside to get on the inside of us. And that's not, the reverse of that is what the Lord has for us. We are to be building, he's to be building that inward life, and then we're to be releasing that into the world. Does that make sense to you? Okay, let's look at a few scriptures. Mark chapter 4, I'm just going to read these to you, but you can write them down. In Mark chapter 4, we know Jesus talks about the sower and the seed, the word being sown into our lives. And when he comes through that, he mentions the different kinds of soil. And then he says, no one lights a lamp and hides it, but sets it up so it breaks the darkness in the whole house. And in that context, he's saying, when I plant my word on the inside of you, it's there to light up your whole inward world. It is there to release my light and life and break the darkness in your whole inward house. The word comes in for that reason. Now, he uses that same idea over in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. I'm just paraphrasing a lot of this, but you can write them down. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. He says, you are the salt of the earth. You are. We are the salt of the earth. Salt releases influence. It changes what it's added to. Okay? That's its role. It also brings preservative. We know that. But he says, you are the light, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. So now that light that he ignited on the inside of us is to become the light of the world. It is to shine out and break darkness in other people's lives. What's going on in us is to be released outward. Make sense? Okay, do y'all see that? Okay, so, and then he tells us, let your light shine so that men will see. Let your light, what I've put in you, shine, not just so that your path is clear, that happens, makes my path clear. Yeah, but that's about you. That's a good thing. No, so that other people who are blind or living in darkness can see. What God's doing in you is designed to help other people see. The way that you live for him, the way that you speak, the things that you write, the things that you do, the way you handle your business, the way your marriage is working, whatever it is, your kids growing up, all of those things, that's what's going on in your world. And now it's going out so that other people have the ability and the capacity to use light. Okay, it is to change the world around us. All right, is that clear? Seems clear to me. Mark chapter 4, verse 37. This is probably one of the most classic passages about the idea that we're talking about. It says, so this is the same chapter, this is on down. So they've been hearing the word all day. Jesus sends them out in the boat, right? And a great windstorm arose. This is Mark chapter 4, verse 37. And the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Okay? But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. Okay? How did Jesus sleep through the storm? I love the way Bill Johnson says it, because there were no storms where Jesus was living. There was no storm in Jesus' life. There was an outside storm, but he had peace on the inside. So there he is in the middle of a storm. He's there asleep. Okay. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? There's a great example right there. We get into bad circumstances. We get into, whatever it is, things coming in, world events coming in, and people will turn and point at God and say, you don't care. Where are you? You're not doing anything. They said this to the Savior of the world. Don't you care that we're perishing? That's allowing that outward circumstance to actually change your view of God and who you know he is. Don't you care that we're perishing? Jesus got up, he arose, he rebuked the wind. Okay, two different terms. He rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." He released the peace that allowed him to sleep in the middle of the storm into the storm and wiped out the storm and brought calm and peace there. Scripture tells us we can go into a household and we can, Jesus said, first thing you do when you go into a house, release the peace that's on the inside of you. If people receive it, great. Otherwise, it comes back on you and you go on your way, okay? But the peace that is in you is to transform that household. The peace that is in you is not just for you, okay? So it says he rebuked the unseen part, and that's for us, that involves our prayers, our rebuking and binding up the spiritual forces behind negative events. But then he just spoke out what the Father had put in his heart. He released peace. We can release peace. We can release joy. We can release faith. We can release love. We can release patience and endurance and persistence and all the characteristics of God through how we address the outward world from our inward world. If you allow the negative events, and there's no question they're negative, going on in the world to get you stirred up and agitated and full of fear and hating people and angry at others and all of that, and that's what you're releasing, you're not helping. Do you still like me? You're not helping. That's not helping. We need to learn to address. Jesus addressed the problem, but he did it from what the Father had built in him. Okay? And then he turned to the disciples and asked them that question, why are you so fearful? You know, and the reason he asked that is because they'd been hearing the word, which produces faith in us, all day long, and yet they were full of fear, which means they weren't really engaging with what they were hearing. Okay, some people might get in that situation, you know, God doesn't care, God doesn't exist, that, you know, there's all kinds of ways to interpret negative things that are going on in our lives, but they are not, you know, Jesus did not in this situation go online and start a discussion about how bad the storm was. He didn't go online and just start talking about, oh, how terrible it was and get a lot of people to follow him and talk about, yep, this is a terrible storm. This is the worst storm in 400 years. You know what? This is the worst storm. This is evidence of climate change. That's what Jesus didn't do, actually. Okay? He rebuked that unseen power and then he addressed it. Okay? Here's another one. Luke chapter 10. Are you still with me? Luke chapter 10, verse 2. I love this. Talking to his disciples. Luke chapter 10, verse 2. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Now we know from other places when Jesus said that, he looked out at the pain and destruction and even the evil tendencies in the earth, and instead of talking about how bad it was, he looked at that and he saw a harvest. He saw a harvest ready to come in, souls ready to come in, people in pain. A lot of people that are bringing hurt into your life, it's because they're in pain. And when he looked at it, the compassion of the Father said through him, the harvest is plentiful. It's the workers that are few, okay? He looked, and so when we're looking out at this world and we're thinking about, man, people are making these decisions and doing this, then, you know, if we'll spend a little time with God, we'll start to have his compassion flowing through us. And instead of being angry about it, we'll be sad about it. We'll be grieved about people are doing this and this and this, and it's going to ruin their life. They're not going to have the abundant life Jesus wants for them to have because they're engaged in sin or this. It's not condemning. It's not you know, mad at the people or condemning them or thinking less of them. It's grieved. The Holy Spirit gets grieved because they're living this way. And so, and now their children are going to grow up without two parents in the home, or their children are going to grow up with some of these different ideas, and it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. And Jesus looked at people and at the world situation. He said, the harvest is plentiful. And then he tells them, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. And I bet they started praying, Jesus, I can do that. Jesus, send out workers into your harvest field. That's a great idea, Jesus. Lord, send out workers. And I pray that prayer all the time. But I love this. He says, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Next sentence, go, I'm sending you. Go, I'm sending you. Oops, we didn't mean to pray that. We wanted you to send some other people. We didn't mean us. Go, I'm sending you. And he says, this is tough. I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Okay? So it doesn't look like that's all going to be fun and games either, you know? But he's sending them out with his life and with his power. And think of the privilege of being chosen to reach the world in our generation. Think of the privilege of carrying his anointing and carrying his light out into the world in whatever it is that you do. We've got to get the idea that it's Christ in you that is the hope of glory. It is Christ in you. Yeah, there's more in you than you have any idea that can release life into people out there. Okay? There's more in you. God believes in this. He says, he that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. And in that passage in 1 John 4, he's talking about the Spirit of God in you is bigger than the spirit of Antichrist in the world. It's a big idea. Oh, that's for this person over here. No, that's for you. He that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. Well, what if they, you know, lambs among wolves, that doesn't sound too good. You know, what if they react negatively or whatever? If God is for you, who can be against you? What's the worst they can do? They can send you to heaven sooner. It's the worst they can do. What, you know, it's like, do we believe these things? Do we believe that the word that's in me can actually transform somebody else's life? Not because I'm so smart, not because I'll say it all, just do it all right, you know, not because of any of that, but because God has deposited something on the inside of us that he wants us to release. We are. It's just, I say this and I'm preaching this to you and I'm thinking, man, I don't know how good an idea this is, God. We are God's answer for this generation. Him in us, not just us, okay? You are where you work, in your extended family. That doesn't put the responsibility on you to try to fix everything. That's not what this is about. Your place, my place, is just to continually feed on him, let that change you, and then release that. Every opportunity you get, just every opportunity you get. Well, I'm not always going to do it right. Nope, you're not. But he apparently knew that. Apparently knows that. Day by day, this is his plan. I ask him about it sometimes. I say, I'm not sure this was the best way to do this, but okay. All right. Okay, I'm going to move on. I want to read one more passage to you. And then we may come back to this another time. But anyway, let's go over to Jeremiah 29. This is just real important with what we're talking about here. Jeremiah chapter 29. Okay, because we've just got a few minutes left. I want to be sure we get this today. So, Jeremiah 29, all through Jeremiah's ministry, really, is ministering to people who are in captivity. And they went into captivity as the judgment of God. We don't live under God's judgment. Jesus took that, but there's still consequence to sin. The point is, these people are living in a situation that does not line up with God's best for them. It does not look like what they've been believing for. It doesn't look like what God has promised Israel. And they're going to be there their whole life. Okay? They're going to be there their whole life. So God sends Jeremiah sends a prophet, several prophets, to encourage them. Because they're God's people. And there's still a plan and a purpose for them. And what they do matters, even though this is the condition right now. He doesn't sin. In fact, he addresses later. He says, there are all these prophets going, and they're just prophesying to you from your desires and your dreams. They're just prophesying to you, oh, you're going to get out any minute. Oh, everything's going to turn around. Oh, everything's going to be good. And God's sending Jeremiah and saying, no, that's not the way it's going to go. Okay? Eventually, he says, in 70 years, when the 70 years is fulfilled, I'll come and I'm taking you out. Okay? But today, you're not getting out. There's no escape route here. This is where you're going to live, but you're still my people. All right, so let's start in verse 4. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, let's just stop right there for a second. So how many people do you hear say today, I couldn't bring children into this world? These people are living in captivity under a totally secular, tyrannical government situation. And God says, plant gardens and eat, get married, have kids, increase. In the midst of that bad situation, I will bring increase to you. Don't be afraid to have children. Don't be afraid to raise kids. Don't be afraid to start a new business. Don't be afraid of all these things. Don't let that outward world keep you from living like my people and living under my blessing. Let what is in you raise you up. And then it says in verse 7, also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. God's telling us there to be praying for the prosperity of the very people who have made the bad situation, who have them in captivity. I want you to pray for their prosperity. I don't want you to tear them down. I'm not telling you as my people to just tear them down, rip them apart, shred them. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, pray for their peace and pray for the peace of the city that you live in. Pray for the blessing of the city you live in. Whether you agree with everything that's going on in this, you know, it says over in Proverbs, when we tear down our neighbor, it says it's foolish. If we're just tearing down, I don't agree with everything this county stands for now, everything this county does, this community does. I don't agree with all of that. But if I'm going to stand here, not saying you never address it, but our heart needs to be, I want everybody here to prosper and increase. I want everybody here to come to know Jesus Christ. I want it to be next to impossible for anybody to spend any time here and not at least have the opportunity to know Jesus or to grow in him, okay? We, God's people, are to be a source of increase and prosperity and peace and all of those things for the community around us. So if all we're doing, again, I'm not saying we don't try to bring change. We have that privilege. They didn't. We can try to bring change, but our attitude needs to be we're doing what we're doing for the blessing of everybody, even those that we disagree with. Do you hear what I'm saying? Okay. Whether you agree or not, I want you to hear it. It's in the Word of God. Okay. And then he goes on, and we'll just wrap this up. He goes on and he says, well, we might as well read it. This is what the Lord says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They're prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. There's always this, you know, every time things get tough, in America, a bunch of prophets stand up and say, Jesus is coming in August. Jesus is coming here. Or this person's going to be elected. And the other side, they say, that person's going to be elected. That person's going to jail. You know, I mean, it's just, and it's not, I believe in prophecy. I love prophecy. But these prophets, these were prophets, were reading the desires of the people and prophesying it back to them. That's not the same as reading the heart of God and prophesying it. Okay, so I'm not here, and I just want to make this clear today. I'm not saying, oh, doom and gloom, nothing's ever going to change, da-da-da-da-da, we need to just suck it up and take it. That's not what I'm saying, and I hope you don't hear that. But we do need to be clear about what our role is. And our role is to be the kingdom of God in the earth and to release what God has put on the inside of us, to carry his attitudes, to carry his nature, to do. We're not going to be perfect at it, but he apparently knows this. We're not going to be perfect at it, but it needs to be our design and our goal. So we're not just reacting all the time. We are responding to what's going on with something that is full of life. Not just our own opinion, not just my anger, whatever. I got to respond with the life of God. That's what we're going to be accountable for too, by the way, when we get there. Not that we fixed everything, okay? Are you happy? Okay, let's stand up and pray this morning. You know, some of these things are real challenging, and I don't care. We need to be challenged sometimes. So anyway, I hope you receive it. Father, Lord, I just, for myself, Father, I pray, Lord, that as I look around the world and I look at my viewpoint of things, and Lord, I pray this for all of us, that, Father, we step back before we react, and we put our faces to your face, and we hear your heart, Lord, and we let you change some of what's going on the inside of us so that when we respond with you. Lord, and I pray, Father, especially we live right now, you know, we live, Lord, in this divisive atmosphere. And my prayer is that the church not feed that, Lord, but instead we release peace and love and joy and faith and strength and power. And we bind up the demonic strategies that are against people. And we do it not just to make us more comfortable or to prove a point, but because we want those people free. We want those people to know you. We want people to come to you, to know you, to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to carry out their role and their divine purpose. And so, Lord, that's my prayer today, Lord, is that we as a church, in particular, we as a church, Father, we know these lines and we know where to stand. When we blow it, we step back and we get back in your face until we are changed on the inside. And I thank you for that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you okay? Some of you, a couple of you, three of you. Do we have three people that are okay? Cool. All right, I'm good. All right, let's say it on the count of three. Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin and the world. I know a lot of you and a lot that aren't here this morning are gone next week too, and we just say bless you in Jesus' name. Be safe traveling and go and be a blessing. Okay, take this. Go and be a blessing. All right, let's say it on the count of three. One, two, three. Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin and the world. Amen. Go out there and be the church.
You are listening to a podcast from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries. For more information about our church, please visit us at rmcmchurch.org.